This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Welcome to all of you who are joining us today, many of you live as well as in our archives. And today our session is Lunch with Meredith and Felice, and on the line with me is Meredith Curtis. So welcome, Meredith.
Oh, Felice, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm excited as well, because today you and I are going to be sharing 5 ways to guarantee a thankful heart, and it's actually 10 ways, 5 that you are going to share and 5 that I am going to share. So they're going to get double their money's worth here. So I'm really happy to be doing this session, because oftentimes we really forget to be thankful, and we can overlook the forest for the trees. So we're going to be sharing some ways that we have instilled in our families, a thankful heart. And I also put out this little thing that said it's a guarantee that you will have a thankful heart, because it really is, Meredith, if you do any one of these things and do it with some dedication and, you know, with the grace from God, there's just no way not to have a change of heart. So we're going to start with number one on your list, and why don't you share that with us?
Okay, number one on my list is to wake up with the Lord and begin thanking Him. And this is something that when I was a young mom, I learned that the only way I could have a prayer time was when I woke up, I laid still to be able to pray, because the minute my feet hit the floor, everyone in the household knew I was awake and needed me. So, of course, now my kids are older, you know, I don't have to do that, but it just formed a habit. And so the first thing I do every morning when I wake up is I just say, "Good morning, Lord, I love you." And then I just start thanking Him for things. Thank you for this beautiful day. My window faces the sun as it rises, and there's 2 beautiful palm trees out my window. So every morning the sun rises over the palm trees. It feels like I'm at the beach, but I'm not. I mean, I live about 30 minutes from the beach. But I just start that way of starting your day with thanking the Lord. It sets my heart in the right place. So then I am already in a thankful mode. And I have just seen for me, like, morning and the way I start my day is the most important thing. And so that's something that has really been a good habit. And so that's
wonderful.
My first tip.
Yeah, and, you know, I know what my state of mind is going to be. I do something similar, and it was not ingrained, but something I taught myself, because we teach and we train our children, and we can train ourselves as well, and it takes self-discipline. So I was waking up, like, with headaches and stress before I even got out of bed, and I knew that if I would start praising God and thanking Him, and if I went to sleep doing that, I would wake up doing that. And I knew that day was going to be great. So I do something similar. I start with prayer, which is number one on my list, and I offer the day to the Lord. So before I get out of bed, we have a little recurring theme going here, Meredith. And we didn't plan this, you know. I asked you just yesterday, actually the day before we were doing this, to send me your 5 things, and I laughingly say that our show is brought to you by us and the Holy Spirit working through us. And so it's like our numbered things dovetailed so nicely. And I just offer the Lord my day. And that kind of puts me in a different mindset. And I tell my children to do that as well. Because then you don't want to offer, you don't want your offering to the Lord to be, you know, something horrible or something you're not proud of. And it kind of puts a little check in my thoughts, you know, in my mind, that I am going to, you know, live this day for the Lord and work really hard toward that. And, you know, really it is by the grace of God that we can do that. And that's where the prayer comes in. The prayer sustains us. And, you know, it really, if you look for thanksgiving and for, you know, being grateful and thankful and words like that in a concordance in a Bible, it's amazing how many scriptures talk to that. So, you know, it's a good place to begin every morning, and that is so good. And so do you encourage that in your children as well?
You know, I realized as you had sent me that email yesterday, I was working at my computer, and right next to me, my future son-in-law was working on some homework, and I interrupted him, and I said, hey, do you start the day like this? You know, I just kind of figured, oh, everyone starts the day like that, but he said no. And, you know, I realized it's probably something that I should share with my children and with other people, because it does change everything. And just like you were saying, starting the day by offering your day to the Lord. And, of course, the day is the Lord's anyway, but you're surrendering your will. And that act of surrender is a humble one. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And I think as well, when you think about going through and thanking the Lord, you know, the Bible says to come into his gates with thanksgiving. So you're preparing yourself to come into the presence and blessing of the Lord. And, you know, it really does make a difference in how you start your day. So,
oh, it does.
So no, but I'm going to share with my children.
Well, you know, we do these things for so many years, and we may not even realize, like you said, you know, everybody has their own way of doing things. And I know that for some of us, you know, some are morning people and some are not. And just recently, I wake up my children in the morning, and so one of them just wakes up really happy, and, you know, like you can see he's really tired, but it's just really cute. He just pops up and, hi, Mommy, good morning. And the other one doesn't even talk. And so our little, because I would get annoyed, you know, and like, are you awake? Can you hear me? And so she told me later, she said, Mom, you know, I just don't want to talk in the morning. Just turn off my fan. Like, my kids are like, we have ceiling fans. And then I have, you know, some of my children like to have a fan blowing on them. And I swear it's in their genes, because that's how their dad is. I kind of broke them of the habit, and then because I don't like a box fan blowing on me with all that noise, but like they like that white noise. But our air went down on my side of the house, so we had to have a fan set up until we could get somebody out to look at it. But I just go and turn off her fan, and then she wakes up, you know. And so it's so cute how they're each, you know, so different. And my other son just wakes up on his own with his alarm and doesn't really need somebody to go in there and get him. So, you know, but you know, I wonder too, you know, I share this with them, but are they doing it? And so, you know, if you're happier in the morning, you would think, you know, that might be something you've implemented. Oh, gosh. And, you know, as we're recording this now, we are approaching the holidays, and it is just it can be a very, very hectic time in our lives. And so we really want to have a holy time where, you know, we are being mindful of the true spirit, if you will, of our holidays, whether it is Thanksgiving, which we are approaching this month, or Christmas, which is next month. And we want to keep the focus out of the commercial and, you know, toward, you know, the true reason for gathering together and decorating and having wonderful meals and things like that, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, it leads me really to my second point, to focus on what you do have rather than on what you don't have. Because the, you know, we're really driven in the United States not by the church anymore as the center mm-hmm. of our culture, but by the media. And we are driven to buy this and ask for this and, you know, buy this brand new TV to watch the football games on and buy all of these presents and buy these decorations and this new thing and this new thing and this new way of, you know, celebrating. And it really ends up costing quite a bit of money. And then you add to that, you know, just the little parties that you go to and you bring a gift. And sometimes we can feel at the holidays like we don't have enough money to enjoy the holidays. And mm-hmm. that really is a deception. And Psalm 37, the Lord warns us in Psalm 37, he says, do not envy the wealth of the wicked. And I think that so often we can mistake celebrating with the world's way, which involves spending so much money. And really, if you think about a holiday, it means a holy day. It means a day set apart. And
right.
I can remember very young where holidays were still about being in church or being in temple, but we've strayed so far from that. In fact, to the point where many churches don't even have services on Thanksgiving Day or Christmas Day, when maybe 200 years ago, the real focus was the church service and gathering and
right.
worshiping God. And so we've really just gone a long way from what a holiday truly is. So I think one of the ways that I try to cultivate a thankful heart, and all moms can do, is to focus on what we do have rather than what we don't have. And I remember when I was a little girl, my mom would always say to me, she'd say, you know, there'll always be people who have more than you, but there'll always be people to have less. So you can think of yourself as needy or you can think of yourself as blessed. And if you think of yourself as blessed, you can be generous and give. And I think that when we focus on, you know, we have a roof over our head, we have friends, we have family, we have, you know, our health, or, you know, if we don't have our health, we can see, we can hear. You know, there's so many things that we're blessed with. And even the money that we're blessed with to be able to buy gifts or the talents we have where we can make gifts, all of those are things that we can be thankful for. And, you know, rather than a lot of times we want things because we see that someone else has them. You know, we're
mm-hmm.
completely comfortable with our van, but then we see that our neighbor next door gets the brand new van, the brand new model. If we don't see those things, we don't want them. And one of the things that has helped me over the years to be content with what I do have is I try to avoid going to the mall. I try to avoid, you know, looking at advertisements or things like that that are going to show me all the things that are out there that I could possibly want. And
right.
one of the reasons that I don't watch TV or have my children watch TV is because of all the advertising. Now, if we like a show, we'll rent the show from Blockbuster or even buy it from Amazon, but we won't watch it on TV. Because if we watch it on TV, we have to sit through all those commercials that are telling my children what they don't have that they should
right.
want. So.
Oh, I think that is so good. And that, you know, goes into my number three, actually, focus on what is good by being thankful at the end of each day as a family or at the dinner table. I know a lot of family don't eat together, which was the one thing that I was so, so thankful for, because I grew up in a restaurant situation. My parents ran a bakery when I was younger, and then they took a little bit of a break, like a three-year break, and had a business outside inside their home. And then when we moved to Florida, they purchased a restaurant. And so, you know, dinner time and lunch time was at the restaurant, so we never really had a sit down. So that was something I craved in a family, and I was really happy to have that with my husband. And so we really are, you know, protective of our meal times, and even with sports, I make sure that we eat earlier and just have dinner ready so that we're not just trying to grab something. I mean, sometimes it can't be avoided, but most of the time it can. And so, you know, that's a time when we can focus on being thankful for something, and it forces our to not have anything to be thankful for. So they know that every day they're going to be held accountable for something, you know, even if it's something that's what I call boilerplate, like, you know, thank you, Lord, for letting me have a good day. You know, well, that's not very specific,
right,
but at least it gets them into that, and then they're a little bit more
that
specific
mindset
after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's, you know, I think accountability, Meredith, is very, very important. Because we can tend to fall into bad habits, which I'll talk about number two in a little bit. I'll backtrack, because that, I think my number two goes better with your number three. But you know, just in that, we tend, like you said, to look at others, and that allows us to be discontent. And I had to do that as well. I recently went to the mall, which I haven't been to, like maybe I go to the mall once or twice a year now. We have a lot of outlet malls, which are easier to navigate. Like you can park near one end and just go to that one store, or maybe the two that are in that, you know, that area, and then leave. That's what we did this weekend. There was a big coupon sale, so I could get some my kids are outgrowing all their pants. They keep getting taller.
Oh.
I have all these tall kids, Meredith. You know, I'm 5'4" and a half, and my husband's 5'9", and we've got these giants that are towering over us. But we you know, and it's hard to find modest clothes for girls, you know, as we know. And
yes,
we've been looking and looking for some shorts for Annie. And when we, you know, she has one pair of denim shorts that she likes a lot. And we were not able to replace those the whole season, but we finally did get her a pair of jeans that were not, you know, like she's been poured into them. But anyway, so this is little stretchy material stuff going on. But anyway, you know, it is difficult to you know, keep your mind off of that kind of thing when you're bombarded. And we don't do a lot of television either. I mean, if I had the choice, we would not have a TV at all. But that's not necessarily agreed upon by all members of my family. So, you know, there are some things that we can do to limit that, you know, type of thing. And you know, even watching sporting events on television, there are some times we just have to either mute or change the channel because the commercials are inappropriate, never mind, you know, just trying to have us entice us to buy something. But,
right.
Yeah, you know, it's really a tough time that we live in. It really is. And I think that's why this is so important, that we cultivate this, you know, thankfulness in our children's hearts as well as in our own. Because let's face it, Meredith, if we're not thankful and we're not in a good place, it's really hard to encourage our kids, isn't it?
Oh, I agree with that very much. And you know, one of the things that I have done with my children over the years is we have watched the movie many times, Pollyanna. And I don't know if you have more boys, but my kids have all read Pollyanna, Pollyanna Grows Up, and all these things. But Eleanor Porter, it's a book written in the late 1800s. Or maybe it's the early 1900s, but Pollyanna plays the glad game, and she always focuses on the positive in every situation. And the movie shows it too. It's an old Disney movie with Haley Mills in it. And if you've never seen that, I really encourage you to watch the movie, or better yet, get the book, Pollyanna by Eleanor Porter. But the glad game is so practical, and she just looks at the bright side of every situation and always finds something to be thankful about. And I take that very seriously in my life. And one of the things that I'll just kind of share a secret with you. It's kind of embarrassing, but I'm a worship leader. And so that's a temptation, you know, when you lead worship to a lot of times musicians and singers, they tend to be very critical of themselves and other people. And so I've trained myself whenever I make a mistake to thank the Lord for it, because I realize that if I come in at the wrong place in a song, or I go flat on a note, or, you know, I miss a cue or something like that, that humbles me. And so instead of viewing that as a negative thing, I've trained myself to view that as a really positive thing. So I've just trained myself so much that the minute I hit a wrong note or do anything, I just, under my breath, say, Lord, thank you so much for that. And it's just, because I'm thankful for anything that the Lord does in my life to keep my heart humble before Him. And I'm sharing some extreme circumstances, because it's easy to do it when the days are good, but I was really in my quiet time on Saturday praying, not 2 days ago, but the week before, Lord, I want to be more thankful. I want to be more thankful. And so I was just very committed to growing in that. And then on Sunday, I got very, very sick, so that I was throwing up, and I could only lay in one position without the whole room spinning around me. So I thought, okay, this is really going to be challenging, but I don't want to back down from a new commitment to be thankful. So every time, I just kept thinking, Lord, thank you so much. There's this one position where the room will stop spinning. Or whenever I got sick, someone would, you know, come in at the perfect moment to take care of me. So I said, Lord, thank you so much that there's always someone to take care of me when I don't feel good. And honestly, that was such a challenge that day, to be thankful about anything. But I found that because I was thankful, it wasn't so bad. Like, usually when I'm really sick, I just complain, you know, not necessarily to anyone, but to the Lord. Oh, I'm so miserable. Why don't you heal me? But it was just very different. Not like I want to go through it again. And I kept saying, okay, Lord, I want to get this lesson because I don't want to repeat it. But it really was a new dimension for me of playing the glad game in my life, finding something to be thankful for. And I think it changed something inside of me, if that makes sense.
Oh, it does. It does, which is your number three is play the glad game, and my number two is guard your tongue and do not allow complaining, grumbling, or discontentment. And I'll share with you in a minute about how that has changed my family's life. And I've got some that only see the glass half empty. Some of my children. And so that just nipped it in the bud. I mean, there was nowhere to go when you couldn't, you know, express your discontent. You could not complain. You could not grumble. I mean, it was a law that we instituted, and it just immediately changed. It was the whole thing that, you know, moms used to say, my mom used to say when I was younger, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. But I gave it, I gave it wings, and I said, not only this is what I mean by that, you know, you cannot complain, you cannot grumble about what we're having for dinner. You cannot be discontent because, as you know, with a large family, there is always going to be something that someone doesn't like. And
exactly.
We cannot be short order cooks. You just cannot. There's not enough money, time, energy, you know, to get everybody's likes and dislikes, you know, taken care of. So if there is something that they didn't want to eat, they could just, if they weren't forced to eat it. And so I grew up in a family where you had to finish everything, and that didn't work out too well. So I don't make them finish everything, but I do, you know, make them try some new things when they're younger. And if they don't want to eat something when they're older, that's fine. But, you know, it's not catered to. So that has just changed our lives. But I want to hear specifically, so how do you play your GLAD game? Like, do you have a format for that?
Well, I would say when the kids were little, I would say, well, let's play the glad game and let's find something to be glad about, because you know, when a circumstance happens and everybody starts to grumble, then you just say, okay, let's play the glad game and let's find something to be thankful for. And then everyone just takes turns saying something that they can be thankful for. And as I've gotten older, it's not so much a game as just a part of my life to always try to find something to be glad about. And so just...
Okay, that's great. And we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with the last of our points. And then for those of you who are in our chat room, we'll be glad to take your questions in just a minute. So hold on while we take a break.
Have you attended homeschool conventions? It's something I love to do. It allows me to listen to amazing speakers, spend time with other like-minded friends, and purchase curriculum. However, after the conference lights dim and I'm heading home, the excitement begins to wane. And it is just for that purpose that the Ultimate Homeschool Expo was created. It's a convention in a box. Choose from one or all six ready-to-download conferences. Each MP3 file is easy to access and makes a great gift for a homeschool mom. Check out all our recorded titles at ultimatehomeschoolexpo.com. The encouragement you need every day. Brought to you by Media Angels Publishing.
Jesus promised us that the best is yet to come. Come to Finish Well 2014 this January, and we'll show you ways to experience His best. For more information, visit us on the web at finishwellcon.com.
Hi, my name is Felice Gerwitz, and I am here today with my co-host, Meredith Curtis. And this is Lunch with Meredith and Felice from the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. And today we are talking about 5 ways to guarantee a thankful heart. And it's actually 10 ways, 5 from Meredith and 5 from me. And so we have had some fun just recapping on some of these ways to be thankful and grateful. I guess both words are synonymous, Meredith.
Yes.
So, and then you've got number 4 here. And so that is a super cool one. So share that with us.
Number 4 is appreciate the things that people do for you. And here's why I put that down. A lot of times when we're not grateful, it's because we're focused on what we don't have. But we're also unaware of how much is being done on our behalf. And, you know, so say we can grumble because, you know, our daughter didn't make her bed, but she offered to clean up the kitchen for you when you were tired and to make dinner for you when you were sick. And so I think not only just noticing the things that people do for you, but appreciating them and telling them, thank you so much for serving.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for, you know, practicing music this week and playing so well tonight. Thank you so much for taking out the garbage without being asked. Thank you so much for proofreading that book for me, Kate. I know you're so busy. Thank you so much for bringing me a meal tonight. You know, that was unexpected. Or thank you for cleaning up after co-op. That was really a blessing. So those are just little things, but I think when your focus is looking for what other people are doing and appreciating them, and it doesn't just have to be the things they do for you, but even the things they do for other people, it gives you a sense of appreciation in your heart about the people themselves. And then it also makes you realize how much people do for you and how blessed you truly are.
That is so good. And that is an area that I need to work on, because I don't always thank people. You know, I'm one of those that, well, of course, you know, I'm thankful, but they don't know unless you say it. And, you know, as you were talking about Pollyanna earlier, I was smiling because that's what we call my husband. I call him Pollyanna because he always sees the positive. And so it was amazing to me, though, Meredith, when I would say something to the other moms. Jeff was coaching. I remember this happening when Mike was really young, and he was just really, really positive, like, way to go. You almost caught the ball. I mean, what little league coach says that, you know, and good try. And like one of the moms came up to me and goes, how did your husband do that? I go, well, he's Pollyanna. And she didn't know who that was. So if you're listening to this and you don't know who Pollyanna is, go look her up and read some of the books because they are so good. But, you know, he just epitomized that, and he's always telling the kids, thank you for everything. And, you know, it's the whole catch you doing something right, you know, that really encourages them. Whereas I, and this is where I'm saying, you know, our whole talk today, Meredith, is Holy Spirit-led, because my number four was do things for others with a grateful heart without expectations of repayment. And that sums up more what's easier for me to do. You know, like I don't ever look for what I'm going to get back. And in fact, I don't like to be repaid, which I, as you know, you've worked with me enough. You know how I don't like being blessed by gifts. You know, it's really hard for me to receive. And so, you know, Meredith, being the good friend that she is, has had to challenge me on that at times. And so, you know, we all have our challenges and where the Lord puts us. And that is prideful. You know, it's, oh, I just want to be the one giving. You know, no, at times you have to be on the receiving end. And it is humbling to receive. But I was looking at Luke chapter 14, the parable of the great feast. You know, and, you know, it talks about that where there's a dinner feast, and you should read that. It's Luke 14, 15 through 24. And it's just about, you know, inviting the least to the dinner, you know, not, you know, the servant was dispatched and brought in, you know, the least of the people, because everyone who had been invited was too busy or had excuses. And so, you know, it's in that way that, you know, those people cannot pay you back. And so, you know, that for me really had an impact. And that's what I try to explain to my children, too, because, again, being a big family, we have different chores that we do. I know you do as well, Meredith. And so unless it's designated out, there can be a lot of, oh, well, it's not my turn, or I made dinner, so I don't have to help clean up, or, you know, those kinds of things. So those are part of my forbidden realm of you cannot stay. Because you know why? It's a self-preservation, because that stuff just drives me nuts. You know, you talk about true confessions. Those kinds of things can just set me off, because it's so not my personality.
You know what I mean? So when I hear that in my children, I don't want children who are not going to want to help out just because they've been asked or because it needs to get done. So I tell my children, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that, Felice, this is you to a T, because you're constantly in the middle of something very big, and you email me or text me and say, hey, I just wanted you to know I did this just to help you out and blah, blah, blah. And I'll think, oh, my goodness, you're so busy with the radio show, but you're promoting Finish Well, or you're, and so just in our friendship, I've really seen you live this out. And one of the things I think why it does cultivate gratefulness in us is because Jesus talked about how where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And when we invest in people by doing things for them, we treasure them more. And we value them more, and that fills us with joy. So it is, you know, once if we want to cultivate affection for someone, the best thing to do is to do nice things for them, because by investing, they become treasure, become something of value to us. And I was also thinking about a church that we were involved with years ago, and one of the things they really emphasized was serving. And all of the young people, and by young I mean, you know, like under 30, were constantly going out of your way to serve people. I don't think I ever carried anything to my car. I never had to ask. People always opened the door for you. And there was such a pervasive sense of joy, because when people are serving one another, there's just so much joy in serving. And you don't really realize it until you're doing it. Now, we can, of course, be all grumpy, oh, I'm serving, you know, but that's not really serving. That's just, you know, doing a job. But when people are serving one another and appreciating one another, there's just so much joy in the atmosphere. And it's such a pleasant place to be part of, you know. So it's a great thing to cultivate in our children.
Yeah, and I see that whenever I'm there visiting you, you know, there is that with everybody just being so helpful. And there was a quick little commercial for Finish Well there in the middle of this broadcast, but that is coming up in January, so I really encourage you to go to that. But I mean, you will be blessed by all the teen helpers that are there. They're just amazing and just really have that spirit. So I think you've encouraged that in your church as well, Meredith. I see it.
Well, thank you. I think they're awesome.
Oh. Yeah, which brings us, and I'm going to do my number five first, and then we'll end with yours, which I love. But my number five was pay it forward. If someone is kind to you, you can be kind to somebody else, which kind of goes along with doing something without expectation. And it really is something that we work on at my house, because it is something that I feel is really lacking in today's youth, especially. There's this whole, you know, what am I getting out of it? So, you know, one situation that is difficult for me, but we have a really sweet neighbor, and it was actually somebody I used to babysit, and my daughter was one of the babysitters of a young girl who moved next door, who's now an adult, and through some unfortunate situation and a real hardship in her life, her husband died suddenly, and she's a little girl, so she moved back home temporarily. But she hires my daughter to do a lot of things, and she's just way too generous with her payment. And so, you know, I don't really like my kids to work, because I feel like financial freedom at a really young age, until you really understand money, is difficult. Not that they spend it. They're very, very frugal with their money. They save it. But it's still, you know, you have X amount of dollars in the bank. Whether you're spending it or not, it's there. And I just don't know, like, do you know, maybe you can clarify what I'm trying to say, Meredith. And so I really don't encourage my young kids to go get a job somewhere, you know. Other than, you know, there's a lot of work to do around here, but we don't pay our children per se. And so there are some jobs, if it's a business-related job, that they will get, you know, paid for, but there's not, you know, like you don't get an allowance for helping to clean the house and keep things neat,
right,
that kind of thing. So anyway, that was one of the things that we did that, you know, if someone's doing a kindness to you, like, for example, that, you know, Annie's getting paid, then she can forward that to her sister and babysit for her without being paid. So that she realizes that, you know, even though, you know, her sister might want to pay her, you know, which she has in the past, that she can just say, no, that's okay. You know, that I just want to do this for you. So, anyway, if you can help clarify what I was trying to say. Not that it's not good to save money, it is. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there have been so many situations.
Well, I think that because children don't have the financial responsibilities that we have, then when they get money, they tend to view it very differently than they will need to view it when they're married with bills to pay and children to feed and clothes and things like that. And that we also do not give allowances to our children. Now, they have jobs to do. Everybody works hard. There are times that we pay them to do certain things. Like I'll say, listen, if you edit this book for me, I'll pay you this amount of money, or something like that. But I think it's very important for children to learn to serve, for the value of serving, especially to the people who are serving them. You know, it's important for children to serve older siblings. It's important for children to serve parents. And I think when teenagers actually in America have the most disposable income of any age group, because they have these jobs, they have this money, but they don't have any real financial responsibilities, so they can spend it all on music and clothes and jewelry and things like that. So I would agree with you. I would say that money is a little bit dangerous for teenagers. And, you know, my son, he worked this summer 1 or 2 days a week for our friend Tim, who has a lawn business. And he took all the money and he made a plan for it. And he put some into his savings for college, and he put some aside for his tithe, and then he put some aside for birthday presents. And so for him, that was a real learning experience and a real good experience. But so I think we can help kids, but I would agree with you. I think to just give children money and let them spend it on things that are frivolous is not necessarily helping them to grow up to be frugal, financially responsible adults.
Right. And I love that. Thank you for sharing that about your son. I think that's great. And when they have a plan, you know, for that sort of thing. And we have a couple of questions here, but before we get to them, I want to talk about your number 5, having a thankful heart, and sing, sing, sing. And I heard that when we sing, we praise God twice. I don't know if that's true or not. That's in the scriptures, but I love it.
Well, I love that too. And I think that the longest book in the Bible is the songbook. We read Psalms, you know, and we don't know the melodies to those things. So we just read them, and we think they're just poems that you read out loud. But the book of Psalms is a songbook, and there are 150 songs in the songbook, and there are all kinds of songs. There are testimonies about God's faithfulness. There's just shouting and singing and dancing songs to praise him. There are songs about theology. There's a whole long song, Psalm 119, that is about the Word of God. And so we have such a wide latitude of songs that we can sing that are appropriate for worshiping God. And one of the things that I see happen so often as a worship leader is that people come into church and they're beaten down and they're discouraged. And the first song, you know, they kind of, all right, I know I'm supposed to sing and worship God. And so they kind of You know, they sing the song, but something happens while they're singing that first song. And by the time they end the first song and they're ready to start the second, they have a smile on their face and they're lifting their hands and they're truly praising God, because God gave us the gift of music and the gift of being able to sing to Him. It's just a wonderful gift. And to think that God, who is absolutely perfect, loves to hear us sing. You know, in almost every psalm it says, sing to the Lord, sing a new song to the Lord, clap your hands and sing to the Lord, shout to the Lord, sing to the Lord, praise the Lord with singing. It's just over and over throughout the psalms. And if you want to know how much God likes singing, you can just go through the psalms and circle every time you see the word sing. But it is such a joy to the Lord to hear us sing. And that is His favorite way to be praised, although He mentions many other ways too. And for us to be able to lift our voice to Him, we're fulfilling our purpose. We are created to worship God. And when we sing to Him, burdens lift away, things get into perspective. Many of the songs that we sing are just packed with scripture. We just sang two songs Saturday night. One was called Victor's Crown, and another was called In Jesus' Name. And both songs were just verse after verse after verse, set to very exciting music. And you could see literally faith rising in people's hearts as they sang that, because when we hear the Word of God, it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And so our faith is built up. You know, they've done studies that singing actually is good for your health. It lowers your blood pressure. It lowers anxiety. So there's something exciting that happens when we sing. And it just fills our heart with gratitude when we're singing about the Lord and to Him. So it's very, very exciting to sing.
I love it. As you were talking, I had goosebumps. I could just envision it, you know. I've been at some of your worship sessions, and, you know, it really is all-encompassing, and everybody just really takes that time to just let go of their problems. And it's almost like, you know, risen, or you're raised, as the word I'm looking for, you know, that your spirit is raised to that heavenly realm where you can just be with the Lord in that time and not think about the present, you know, and then just leave a changed person. And that is so powerful, Meredith. So we have cumulatively here given you 10 ways to guarantee a thankful heart, and I challenge anybody who is doing these things faithfully to really let us know how they worked out for you, if there was one way that worked better than another. And Meredith, we've got a little bit of time here, so let's take some of these questions, okay?
Okay, that sounds great.
Okay, the first is, how do you get your older children that have left home to be appreciative about how we are doing things so that it makes for a good time? We have a son that is gone but comes home for holidays and he grumbles about everything.
Wow. Well, I would say this. One of the things that my mom always taught me is that when you're in someone's home, that you honor the people who are head of that home. And so I would, maybe your son doesn't even realize that he's constantly grumbling. And maybe before the holidays happen, you could take him aside and say, hey, I don't think you realize this, but when you come home for holidays, you're very negative and complaining, and it just puts a damper on everyone's celebration. Why is it that you're so negative? And maybe talk to him about that. And then say, let's make this holiday different, and I want to be able to help you to change your behavior so that our holiday can be a better experience for everyone. It may be that your son does not realize how negative he is being, or it may be that, you know, he wants to be released to go somewhere else, and maybe he needs a few holidays of being away from the family to really appreciate how good it is to be with the family.
No, I think that's very good advice, very good. And the next question is, how do you keep going when you do nice things, but it is always repaid with ungratefulness? And I'm going to jump in on this one, and then welcome to add to it, Meredith. But I have a perfect example of that with my oldest. And one of the things that, you know, he does live at home, so we were really trying to help organize his room so that he could have a little bit of time where he just could be by himself. And we needed that as a family because he would be really tired and come downstairs and the television would be on, and then he would fall asleep and start snoring and just things like that. So we thought, well, you know, if we give him his own little space, and I remember, you know, taking some time and really organizing his room and saying, let's go buy paint. And he was just miserable. He did not want us to do anything in his room to make it better. And for Christmas, of course, I didn't count for that. So I just ignored it and went ahead and got these, you know, boxes that would fit underneath his bed. They're great drawers. They were expensive and were on a budget. So, you know, that was not, he didn't like it. I mean, currently those boxes are not under his bed. I've put them there and he's taken them out and put them in a different place. They're empty. So sometimes when we do things that even if they're a great idea and we think that it will solve an amazing problem, which it would take out, like, for example, there's socks in a box in his room, rather than in an empty drawer that could be very easily accessible. You know, so for me, it's just, I've tried throwing away the box, you know, and another box will find its way back in. So sometimes, you know, it just, there has to be some compromise, and we're in the process of doing that. I've given him a timeline of when, you know, I said, look, last Christmas is when you got these things. If you don't want them in your room, fine. You know, just take them out. No, I want them, but that's not where I want them. So I gave him a timeline, and I've done all I can, and it just, he does not want us to help with his room. He's very ungrateful for any of our help. So, you know, sometimes you just have to back off and make a compromise. And with him, I did give him a timeline. And so, you know, it may not be your situation, but I think sometimes when we do things that we might think is a good idea and it's not, we have to realize and kind of take ownership for that and not so much blame the other person for being ungrateful, especially in my case, because it was something, you know, that's, it's my house, but it's his territory, you know, if that makes sense. You know, our kids need, you know, even if you have an adult child, you know, they need their space. And so he felt like I was infringing on his space. So I know I wouldn't have liked him to come into my room and start reorganizing it, you know. But I don't know. So, Meredith, do you have anything you want to add, you know, maybe in a different regard to that?
I do. On a positive and then on more of a negative kind of thing. On one hand, when my children are ungrateful, I require them to be grateful even to me, because there are things that I do for them that are necessary and they don't realize they're necessary, but they're a blessing and they're inconvenient for me, and I want them to be grateful. And sometimes I've had to go to my husband and say, hey, listen, you know, you're gone most of the day, and so you don't realize this, but, you know, when I ask the children to help me, they don't want to, you know, they've been grumbling. And then when I do things for them, they don't say thank you so much. And so he'll sit down with the kids and he'll say, when your mom makes dinner, you need to say thank you, mom, so much for making dinner. And, you know, so we have to sometimes, over the years, there have been occasions where we have had to work on that, because it's a matter of character to be grateful. And when their children don't learn to be grateful, then they suffer as adults, because people don't want to be around people who are complaining. They just don't like them. So it's for their benefit. On the other hand, One year I was Christmas shopping, and I was picking out all these cute things that I really, really liked. And this kind of goes along with what you said, Felice. And I thought, oh, I love this. Who can I give it to? Oh, I love this. Who can I give it to? And the Lord just stopped me dead in my tracks, and I realized, I'm not shopping for people. I'm getting things I like to give. And there's a big difference. And so at that point, I began to study other people and think, what would they really like? What would be a blessing to them? And it kind of opened my eyes, like Felice said, to the fact that, you know, sometimes in my giving, I give people what I would really like rather than what they would really like. And then when they're not grateful, then I'm, you know, hurt. But they're not grateful because they're different than me and they want something different.
So, yeah, and one of the moms posted, very good, one of the moms posted here in the chat room that she reminded her child that she had feelings. Like, so get that, you know, that your kids forget. And she said the first time she said that to her daughter seemed shocked, and she apologized and said she does forget and at times takes me for granted. So, you know, I think because we put up with so much of the time that our kids do forget at times that we have feelings. So I do, you know, share with them, you know, if that hurt my feelings and things like that at times. And, you know, that's where my son and I had, we went out and had coffee, and I said, you know, this is, you know, what needs to happen, because our schoolroom is upstairs and his bedroom's upstairs, and it's his bedroom, his bathroom. And this used to be his and his sister's until, you know, she grew up and moved out. And now the younger kids have taken over the schoolroom. So at times, like, there might be a laundry basket outside of his room, which is in our schoolroom. And the air hockey table has clothes that, you know, nobody uses anyway during school, but he will have clothes that he's in the midst of folding. So it's like, you know, there are some boundaries that we had to set and say, okay, you know, these are some things just for our self-preservation, and it, sometimes it's good to know that we can take that time and talk to our kids and say, you know, that hurt my feelings. Oh, I didn't even realize that, you know. So, but listen, we are at the end of our, you know, our lunchtime here. So, Meredith, thank you so much for coming and being with me. And you can find Meredith at MeredithCurtis.com and also find the amazing conference she is helping. She's organizing, but has helped organizing, and that is the FinishWellCon.com. And I'm going to be going to Orlando and speaking, and that happens at the end of January. And it is an amazing, amazing spirit-filled conference for parents and their teens and even younger kids. There's a ton of stuff over there that you'll want to check out. Well, thank you, Meredith, so much.
Thank you so much for having me. And, yes, and thank you. And to everyone out there, I just really want to encourage you to not to say, oh, that's a great idea, but to put these things into practice, because when our hearts are filled with gratitude, we are filled with joy too. And what a difference to be filled with joy than to be filled with a bitter spirit. And so God bless you all and have a happy Thanksgiving. And Felice, again, thank you. I love you so much, and I love to
Speak here.
With you. So thank you.
Thank you, Meredith. And also, I think I forgot to mention, there is a handout. So if you came into the chat room, you already got that. If you're listening to this, go to Vintage Homeschool Moms and look for Lunch with Meredith and Felice, and you will see that handout in that post. So thank you, and we'll see you, Meredith, and I will see you next month, but I will be back next week with a special guest. So see you then. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.